I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
A half dozen games on Sportsnet alone tonight. And a busy evening in the National Hockey League. The remaining contests can be viewed on Rogers Game Center Live. Actually, they can all be viewed on Rogers Game Center Live. Check it out. Darren Millar bringing you into Hockey Central. This is going to be a very busy hour. Normally, we don't cram this many guests in, but with what's happening with the Dennis Wiedemann situation, the Calgary Flames, the National Hockey League, the NHL Officials Union, we want to spend some significant time on the 20-game suspension handed to the defenseman. And we'll also chat with a player who has been suspended for abuse of an official in the past, Rob Ray, and had his penalty reduced by appeal. We'll also bring in Paul Stewart, former NHL referee, get his take, his opinion from an official side on what's happening between the NHL, the Calgary Flames, and the NHLPA, the NHL Officials Union. Also, a look ahead to some action on the ice tonight. It's going to be a great ceremony at Air Canada Centre before the Leafs and the Devils game, honoring the 40th anniversary of Daryl Sittler's 10-point night, which is actually, the anniversary is Sunday, but this is the last home game before that. So Dave Reese, I'm told, is going to be in attendance. Goalie that surrendered all 11 goals. There was 11 goals in that game.
Was that his last game in the NHL,
listen,
or did he play for
a
while?
And I say good on him for wanting to take part in the festivities. Me, I wouldn't be anywhere near it. I would not. I'm sorry, but hey, good
he's
on you.
He's owning
good
it.
Good on you for having a great night, but I'm not celebrating
just
with
a minute.
You. I'll sit from afar.
So, just a minute.
Yes.
Did they keep him in for all
11? Yes, grapes wouldn't go to
because it was Jerry Cheever's first game back from the World Hockey Association, and they said he wasn't ready to play yet.
So, grapes stayed with him.
Grapes stayed with him the whole night.
He thought he was going to find his groove.
No, I could believe
he thought he was going to find his groove.
I believe grapes would do that to Hardy
Astrom
in Colorado, who we know he didn't care for, but I didn't think he'd do it to poor Dave Reese. Come on, grapes.
So we've had a fun week. We've invented we've taken it mainstream. The one-upping. The topping.
Ivanka Osmak has taken it to a whole other level.
We've taken one-upping to the people. So it's a fun little game between a couple of buddies every now and then.
Blast.
But now it's part of
I don't know
culture.
Really,
and the Calgary
though.
Flames have jumped on board.
Who
had a great game last month for the Calgary Flames? Young player. Wonderful game.
Johnny Gaudreau. Sam Monahan.
Sam Bennett.
And Monahan last night.
And Sean Monahan went out and said,
I'll one-up you.
Good. It's gone national.
Yeah.
I like it.
But that was a heck of a performance on a tough day for the Calgary Flames.
So why
would Ivanka slam me?
No,
I don't mind they call me the legend.
Like,
but why go there?
When people refer to other people as one-uppers, it's not a compliment.
That's what I mean. Why would Ivanka go there? I mean, I've been so nice to her and Ken Reed, complimentary about their work.
I think it speaks volumes.
It's a shot at me.
Totally.
But it's an honest shot. A shot to make you a better person.
And I can take it.
Doesn't sound like it.
I can dish it out, and as you guys know,
can you get
take
through
it.
A whole show without one-upping? That's possible? Can we try that? Are we in the show early enough that we can challenge him?
Challenge
him.
It's called experience.
Okay.
That's what it's called. Not one-upping. It's called experience.
No, it's one-upping.
Vast experience.
Okay. It's topping.
So, listen, I want to get back to the Wiedemann.
Yeah.
People are under the impression that we don't know the rules here. I just want to make it abundantly clear is that...
No, you know who doesn't think you know the rules?
Yeah, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
including
not people,
him.
It's
no,
him.
No, there's... He got 20 games, and they used the physical abuse of an official as the barometer of why...
Of what's in the rule book.
Of what's in the rule book as a... to justify the 20
games.
There's
three categories in the rule book. A three-game penalty, a 10-game penalty, and a 20-game penalty.
But this wasn't, this was the league and Coley Campbell having the choice to pick whatever they wanted.
Having the right to.
Having the right to pick any number that they wanted to.
They could have gone 17.
They could have gone whatever they wanted to. They just chose to fall into the category of physical abuse of an official.
Why wouldn't they? Because that's what it was.
Which again is, I mean, which
that's
is fine.
What I don't understand.
Which is fine.
Here's
physical abuse.
This is why.
So that's why you call it that.
But Doug, this is why they had the freedom to go wherever they wanted. It's because on the game sheet there was no penalty for abuse of an official.
And if there is on the game sheet, then they have
no choice.
Exactly. They can't come up with any number that they wanted.
Exactly.
So that's, we were well aware.
Sure.
They just chose to go down that path.
And they should have, because that's what
I can
it was.
Say this.
Abuse of officials.
Okay.
So when I don't have
not,
a problem
I'm not
with
debating
that.
That.
When
I'm
you
not
listen
that.
To the presentation that the NHL made, Department of Player Safety, off of Hockey Operations decision, when you listen to that explanation, it sounds like he should get 40 games.
Yeah. He very, if it would have been Rafi Torres or somebody like that, he would have got, or Matt Cook or somebody else, he would have got.
Maybe
40.
They don't or believe the that it's as severe as they wanted to.
No, they think it's severe.
No, I think they may think it's not as severe.
Oh.
I just think that this one was enough that they wouldn't have the backlash from the officials. Okay,
that's
this was
it.
Enough to appease them.
That's part
okay?
of it. But Kippy.
Saying that moving forward, that they will now go to an appeal and
Gary Bettman.
To Gary Bettman, which is the first thing that you need to do. And there is no reason in the world that Gary Bettman would lower it on his own.
Why?
Because then
he has
he's,
in the past.
Then, because but now he's now he has to revert back to his original issue was appeasing the officials.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So he says no to the appeal, and now you have an independent arbitrator come in, and now it's at his discretion on whether to lower or not. And if he does lower it, then the officials can never go back to Gary Bettman and say, you didn't have my back.
You know, I can.
You're right.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah, it does. Okay, but let me give you this. I think when you continually talk about doing it for the officials, I'm insulted by that, because that is letting Weidman off the hook for what he in fact did. And that was to skate up behind, just let me finish, skate up behind an official and basically cross-check him. Now, I'm sorry, in any league in the world, NFL, NBA, if you do that to an official, so I understand you're saying they've got to appease him. But this is a lot more than appeasing the referees.
This is
about what he did on the ice, which I haven't seen in 30 years in the league, anything like this.
Here's former NHL referee Paul Stewart. You can check out his website, Officiating by Stewart. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Stewart. I'm on record saying I thought he was going to get 10 games. I thought he was woozy. I don't think he ever meant to do it, even though the video looks damning. Kippy's right in the middle, and you heard Doug. What's your take on what happened with Dennis Weidman and Don Henderson?
I want to square off with Kiprios, first of all. I was reffing a game in Toronto one night, and he lands all over Fuhrer, and then it becomes a big controversy, and I end up getting sent home. And, you know, I just have to say that, you know, I've never had a Greek salad ever since.
Good for you.
Last but not least, I mean, I love the Maritimes, but let's send this other guy back, will you?
Oh, my gosh. No
Look,
kidding.
I never physically abused Stewart, but I'm sure I might have verbally abused him the odd night.
No, not a problem. You know, it's interesting because I think we all understand the passion and friction are part of our games. And certainly the three of us have interchanged, and that's fine. You know, to me, it was like the Godfather. It was never personal. It was business. And we do we can, and we're honest about it.
So,
I'm looking at this whole thing with Weidman and saying, you know, not a bad guy and all of this, and certainly out of character. But I think, you know, Doug, you mentioned just a second ago how many years you've been with the league, and you have to comprehend the people who are listening that the hockey department, the hockey ops department, is going to take the hard line because there are going to be softening agents, just like when you do your laundry, you know, you add the softening agents and then the bounce in the dryer. And this whole situation was adjudicated to 20 games, and that's great. Well, you know, it is what the rule is, and we officials live by the rules. The second part is now there's an appeal to the commissioner who can drop it, perhaps as he might, to somewhere around maybe 10, 12 games. And then, because of the way that the collective bargaining is written, an independent arbitrator is going to come in, and I said all along, it's the Phil Esposito number. It's going to be 7. And that's the way it is. And then I think Weidemann's going to get traded out of Calgary because they're going to be using their younger defensemen. And they're going to be probably doing okay. And they're going to go after a guy maybe in the East, perhaps even in my fair city here in Boston.
Oh, come on in February 29th. I just want your opinion. Take us through what happened on the ice, because you've been inside those boards. You've been on that stage. And tell me what you saw between Dennis Weidman and Don.
Well, I certainly saw the hit. And I don't disagree with Weidman that it likely was a boarding penalty and that, you know, it's unfortunate with the way that not every arena is the same, but that there was a little given in the glass or the dasher, and that, you know, he took a pretty hard hit, and he no doubt was likely woozy. But then, you know, there's an instinctive part, and we hear about it a lot with this concussion issue. You know, somewhere along the way, the light bulb goes on and the bell rings. You're back again. And what happens in this situation is he comes up the ice drifting. He stands up. And then he just lunges at the first person that's in front of him. And I don't know necessarily, I can't answer that he didn't know it was an official. But the fact would be that, unfortunately for him, it was an official. And as we know, we have one can of paint. We have one brush. We have one stroke. You can't physically demean an official. And this would be no different as if you were in a car accident on the street and somebody whacked your brand new Ferrari or your brand new Volkswagen in my case and you get out of the car and punch the cop that shows up to take the report. I mean, Henderson didn't even know what happened. Why was there no penalty called? Nobody was concentrating on that play because they were focused. I think the puck was well toward the other blue line, and likely the linesman on the opposite side couldn't see it, and Henderson certainly couldn't see it, and the referees probably, you know, didn't have a good view, and nor would they have expected that.
Hey, Paul,
that's my take.
You know, you being over the years in that officiating world, what would this have done to them as a group in terms of bonding together, being adamant, putting pressure on the league here? How would you have seen that played out in the last week and a half?
Well, I'm not demeaning the present group because I don't know a lot of the new cast of characters. But when I was on the staff, I mean, we're talking a whole different landscape. We're talking Van Helman and Koharski and Finn and Morrell and lots of fellows with lots of names that had names on their backs, and the people knew who they were, so that we were more of an integral part of the game. And I think in the situation that we were in 83 with Foyt and Lysiak, you know, that was virgin territory for this type of situation with a player, you know, dumping the linesman as he did in Hartford. And, you know, no one doubted that Tom Lysiak was a good guy or a bad guy. There was no debate, but there certainly was the fact that we're now faced with an attack on an official, and you can't do it.
So is that what you think this was?
I think it's not necessarily an intended attack, but it's just as often as what I say to my officials when I coach them. You know, you see the play, but you sometimes have to wait and see what's the result. And in this particular play. I mean, he's lunging at an object in front of him, a body. Maybe he doesn't know it's an official, but the end result is, unfortunately, it was an official. And you know what? You have to be in control. Had he hit a player, a different department would have judged it. Supplemental discipline would have been dealt with Rache and that crew, Patrick Burke. And the player safety.
Check out his website, officiatingbypaulstewart.com, on Twitter, at Paul Stewart, former NHL referee. Paul Stewart with us on Hockey Central at noon.
Paul, I've sort of kicked around the game in the league for 22 years and doing this for 6 or 7 years, and I have never seen anything like this. I've seen guys swing an errant punch. I've seen guy throw a stick into a scrum. I've seen myself push a linesman and get called on the mat and suspend it and fine $10,000. But I've never seen this where a guy skates up behind a referee or linesman and, like you said, lunges, lifts his stick, and cross-checks him, essentially. Now, I'm sorry. I've never seen anything close to this, Paul.
Well,
and I don't know if he knew. Darren is sort of using this. Maybe he didn't know, but he did it. And I know he might have been slightly concussed or concussed, but he did it. And what it just, I've never seen anything close to it.
Well, it's certainly well laid out in the rule book. And it's part of the issue that I have with leagues across the world, that the officiating and rule books are not completely understood. We have a real lack of connect between the groups. And most people, and I think, Doug, you may be a different type, but when you were coaching and managing in Columbus and other different places that you and I ran across one another, I know that you had a command of the rules. Scotty Bowman always understood the rules. I don't think a lot of people know the rules and know the ramifications. And yes, you are absolutely 1,000% correct. In North America, you have seen very little of this. I just returned from 3 years in Russia working with three different leagues over there, and I've seen this a few times over there, a lack of respect, a lack of understanding of not only what the respect and responsibility should be from the players, but as well, I saw a referee attacked, and he turned around, took his helmet off, and went right back after the player. So I think we need to bridge this communication gap and this respect gap. Are we just dealing with hockey? I think maybe it's even more significant or symptomatic of how society is. We've got a lot of disrespect in the world today. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Weidemann, and I give him all the latitude I can. I don't think any official putting on a sweater in the future is going to hold it against him. You know, the game's too well viewed and too micro analyzed, but I think that We have to appreciate that, again, going back to what I said earlier, it's not just the play itself, but sometimes you have to wait as the official, put a little crazy glue on your hand before you stick your hand up, and understand what's the result. And the result is that, you know, ultimately there can be no excuse.
Paul Stewart, thanks for joining us today.
Hey,
I appreciate your insight.
Paul, before you go, remember that one night in Winnipeg?
Is this a one-up?
No, it's not a one-up. Yeah, it might be a one-up
well,
to his story.
I remember the play.
I hit Brent Ashton, and I remember after the game, John Perpich, the assistant coach, came up to me just when I came out of the shower, and he said that Brent Ashton's in surgery because I broken his jaw. And I remember, like, feeling sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a horrible feeling knowing that.
Can I tell about the play?
And, you know, you go ahead.
Well, I was the referee in a game, and Nick, you were playing for Washington. And the interesting thing was that I had played against Brent Ashton. I had fought him in Vancouver. I remember it well. It was the night I scored my first goal in the NHL. I'm a little surprised that, you know, the parade didn't make the news, but... you hit Ashton with a clean check, and he fell forward, and his face hit the ice. He was out cold before he hit the ice. And I remember all of the players coming after you.
Oh, my. And it was scary.
I stood between them, not trying to be the cavalry, but I stood between them and said it was a clean hit. And I remember saying the same thing to the Winnipeg coach, and I have to think it might have been either John Paddock or Dan Maloney. But I do remember that particular night, your coach, Brian, was really pissed that I didn't penalize the Winnipeg guys for coming after you.
Brian's
and I ended
best.
Up giving him one of the only four bench minors I ever gave in my 20 years to a coach. And it wasn't so much, Brian has a little bit of a lisp, and it wasn't so much that he was saying nasty things to me, but because he had that lisp, every time he said, Paul, I was getting a mouthful of spit.
I tell you what, you may have saved my career, because if you didn't say that was a clean check, that could have probably gone anywhere between 20 games in life. So
no, I, a lot of people, despite judging it today, Nick, would say, you know, oh, he hit him in the head. You hit him square in the chest. He was on his way down, and I'm telling you, he had no control over himself, whether the wind was knocked out of him or he was slightly out cold on his feet. But it was, you didn't rise up anything. I remember the play, it happened right in the neutral zone. Yeah. It happened on the bench side, right in front amazing. Of the Winnipeg bench. And, you know, I have a pretty good memory about everything that I've done in my career. And I remember that in particular. And, you know, it was interesting because, and I liked Brent Dashton. I, you know, I thought he was an honest guy, you know, a player that played the game with no crap involved. And, you know, that was one of those nights. And you'd have to inform me. I forget. Did not Brian get discharged after that game?
Brian Murray
or Brent Ashton?
Brian Murray. Did he not get fired after that game?
No, he did not. Not to my knowledge.
Not only do you have a good memory, but you can predict the future. And then trading Dennis Weidman. Well, at Paul Stewart 22, at Paul Stewart 22 on Twitter. And check out his website, officiatingbystewart.com. We've got Rob Ray standing by.
The Greek salads are on me, Paul.
Rob Ray, I got a story about him. He got me in trouble, too.
We got to bring you back.
Yeah, well, you know, ask him about the night he bet me that the puck was in or not. And oh man, what a story! It'll be in my book once you guys.
Okay,
I love it. Okay, thanks,
Paul. Take care, Paul.
So Rob, tell me about the night that you bet him that the puck was in.
Oh, I have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Does he not realize that we played the game and got a few more knocks in the head than maybe he had?
You know what? By listening,
how are we supposed to remember?
Too.
What's that?
I said, by listening to him, I think he's had a few as well.
Okay, wanted to have you on, Rob, because of your connection to the Weidman incident, in the sense that you were suspended for abuse of an official. You appealed. You also had yours reduced. Tell us about the altercation, what happened, and then the subsequent appeal.
Well, mine all started, it was just a rush down the ice, and I got hauled down in a bad way, and there was no call, and you know, coming back up the ice, letting everybody, you know, the linesman and referee knew what I thought about it, eventually getting tossed out. I got walking down the runway in Buffalo behind the net, or behind the bench, smashed the stick against the wall. I was probably 10 feet down the runway, and I turned and threw my stick back out towards the ice, and I was pretty much charged with throwing my stick at a referee linesman in disgust, and that was my abusive official. But looking at the tape, there was three officials standing at the penalty box and one between the two benches, and I'm 10 feet down the hall, and I got nailed with abusive official. So, but anyways, it would have been impossible, but
the stick didn't hit them.
The whole program, and you know, they allow you to come and say your piece, which is bogus, because they've really already got their minds made up, you know, and they're just doing that to say they allowed you to do it.
But yours was reduced.
Yeah, it was. I got
from 10 to 7.
And, you know, went back and argued again, and they dropped it down to 7.
But Rob, your stick didn't hit the referees, did it? It just went on the ice.
My stick never came 50 feet from
right,
the referee.
Okay.
Did your appeal go to the independent arbitrator, or did it just go to Bettman?
No, it went right back to Bettman.
And then he reduced it?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you get an explanation of why they felt it was reduced? And if it was reduced, why wouldn't it be reduced to maybe the minimum, which was three games?
No, I never got an explanation. And actually, it was kind of funny because you sit in front of the same people that give you the initial suspension, and then it goes right back to Gary Bettman, who was a part of the initial suspension as well, and it goes back to him, and then he knocks it down to seven. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of confusing the way they handle things, but it goes back to the same group the second time, in my case was, and that's the decision was made but then.
I think has that not changed now that it would be Coley's group that did the initial and Bettman?
Then the appeal goes to Bettman, so and then
would,
an independent.
So
operator.
Would Gary have been in the original? I mean, I'm sure he's aware of everything that's around it, but would he be involved in that original?
I wouldn't think so.
How can you be involved in that? And then, as Rob said, I think it may have changed, Rob, or do you think it's the same?
No, well, I'm not sure, but I know in the initial one, Gary Bettman asked majority of the questions.
Right.
You know, you're in the room with 30 other guys from you know, agents to lawyers to off-ice officials to the guy that, you know, claimed that the stick was thrown at him, the linesman. There were so many people in there. And yeah. Gary did majority of the, you know, the question asking, you know, what were you thinking at this point?
Chatting
what were you doing here? And it's like really crazy stuff that, you know, you really couldn't make a lot of sense to. So when you're a lot of times, obviously, when you're answering the questions, it's making you sound like you didn't know what you were doing. So, you know, they... You know, can judge it on that. But, yeah, it did sound kind of weird.
Chatting with Rob Ray, who was suspended for 10 games 15 years ago for abuse of an official, appealed and had it reduced to 7 games. It's Hockey Central at noon with Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. In a few minutes' time, about 35 minutes' time, we're going to chat with Jack Eichel of the Buffalo Sabres. He will also join the program.
Rob, as a guy that played on the edge and me or you getting suspended, We know that's justified all day long, but Dennis Weidman doesn't play on the edge, doesn't have that reputation. So from a guy like you who did, how do you look at the situation when you look at Weidman and the official? How do you read it?
Obviously very frustrated from the hit in the corner and, you know, obviously banged up from it a little bit. And by working his way back, I'm watching it and I can understand just pretty much everything that he did. He, you know, when he comes into the frame with the lines, when he kind of looks like he's trying to jump around him but push him away at the same time. And in my eyes, I think it's blown way out of proportion. I think that, I think if he did not come back and continue to play in that game, you're looking at something totally different right now instead of the 20 game, but when he comes back and plays, it kind of looks bad on him. But it's a very emotional game. Things happen fast. And I think that the people that are making the decisions a lot of the time don't understand it because a lot of those guys have never been a part of it. And, you know, you guys know yourself, Nick, in a game that sometimes things happen in a game and you get back to the bench or you get to the dressing room and you kind of think to yourself, what just happened there? Because I don't know if it's adrenaline going or you're so into what's happening and focused that sometimes you just, for that split second or so, you lose track of what's going on.
But Rob, this decision was made by Colin Campbell.
Yeah. Rob, yes. But you grew up from a kid playing the game, and I'm sorry, but you're one of the things you'll learn when you're growing up in the game is that you do not touch an official. Under any circumstance. And I'm blown away by the fact that people are watching this and saying, well, I get guys lose it. I get it. But he did it. He essentially cross-checked an official.
Yeah, he did.
How do you get away with
it? They're going in the same direction. One's coming backwards, one going forward. And who says who has to move in that situation, Doug?
Well, you can't cross-check a referee from behind. I know that.
I know, but if you're watching, it's not as if he went straight up and just gave him the cross-check. He looks like he's trying to get around him and pushing him away with the stick at the same time. That's the way I view it. I know you're not supposed to touch an official. Yeah. I know that, for whatever reason.
Touch an official.
What really,
this is more than touching an official.
I'll tell you what really bothers me is that you, Doug, are looking at this black and white. Okay, it has to be gray here for you to sit there
and
say
be gray?
That you don't under any circumstance
is black and white. The gray is there are some circumstances here, and you can't just disregard that he just had his head smashed into the glass, and it may have played into what just happened.
It may have, but he did
it. If it does, then you have to look at the circumstances and wonder if, or not if 20 games is justified.
I don't care about the games. What I care about is the fact that he lifted a stick and cross-checked an official, which you simply can't do
It was more of a push than a cross-check.
He raised a stick and he cross-checked him. He did.
We could disagree on that,
Darren, but he cross-checked him. And that's what the ruling said.
You suffer from vertigo. You something happens to you. You fall on somebody on the sidewalk, and that has no play whatsoever. The fact that you bumped into somebody or fell on somebody, that you're responsible.
Yeah, you're responsible. You're responsible.
I don't care. You can't go back and say, listen, I suffer from something.
I appreciate he was dazed. I appreciate it was a split second.
I'm not saying it goes from 20 to 0.
You can't abuse an official.
I'm not saying that the penalty goes from 20 to 0, but does it not come into play on maybe that?
It may come in on the suspension, but you can't.
And are you okay if it lowers because
he was... Yeah, I'm fine. I said he should get 15. I can't, but you can't abuse an official, and that's what he did. That's what he did. He abused official, and you can't do that in any sport. I don't care what the excuse, and I like Dennis Weidman. I feel bad for him, but he cross-checked an official in a game. That's what he did. Look at the tape.
Rob,
how many times did you abuse an official from the bench?
A lot, and I got suspended and fined for it. But I didn't push. I didn't punch him or cross-check him.
Well, he didn't punch him.
No, he didn't punch him.
No, he didn't push him. He didn't really cross-check him. He pushed him. So
well, we can disagree on that.
Rob, thank you very much.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye.
That's all we're saying.
See you, buddy.
Is that Rob Ray you got to factor Saber. In a little bit of the circumstances that went into it just prior.
And none
just
of
don't throw it away and say that really doesn't matter because he abused an official.
Oh,
okay,
that's what the whole
acknowledge.
Thing.
That he did suffer some sort of brain trauma, whatever you want to call it, but that should come into play in your decision.
What if Matt Cook did it?
Well, but you can't say Matt Cook hypotheticals.
What if Rafi did it?
No, that's hypotheticals.
Different players, different reputations. Mm-hmm. Okay, they have past. But they have a past.
But they're not all the same. They don't have a past of abusing referees.
They don't have a past of abusing referees. That's a useless argument because it's hypothetical. Because it's hypotheticals. We got to take a break. We've got video of Carey Price skating in Montreal.
Hold on, guys.
Jack Eichel also coming up on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Some great action tonight in the NHL. Islanders, Washington, Patrick Division, Sportsnet 360. New Jersey and Toronto, Maple Leafs looking for consecutive wins. And the big ceremony honoring Daryl Sittler, 40th anniversary coming up this weekend of his 10-point game. We have Connor McDavid in Ottawa, Game 2. That one's on Sportsnet West. Vancouver at home to Columbus with John Tortorella's return to the Lower Mainland. Sportsnet Pacific, Anaheim, Los Angeles, and Sportsnet at 10 o'clock. A lot of action on Sportsnet and a lot of action on Rogers Game Center live tonight. We have Jack Eichel coming up in just a moment. Also want to get to the video of Carey Price skating today. You guys, Darren Millard here with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. You guys want to clear up one or two things here?
I know Paul has a pretty good memory.
Paul Stewart,
we just had him as guest, but I'm not 100% sure he's correct in saying that Brian Murray was behind the bench in Winnipeg. I think Terry had replaced him by then because if you weren't there, John Perpich was the assistant coach that told me the news and you were never on the bench with John.
That Brent Ashton had gone into surgery.
That's right, he went into surgery.
Brian, I was not there when that hit happened, and I was with Brian till he left. So Brian Murray was not on the bench in that particular game.
And I would have imagined...
It would have been Terry Murray and John Perpich.
It was 1991, and it was late in the season.
Yeah. So it was Terry Murray. Yeah.
Do you remember what month you were fired in Washington?
I think it was, if I'm not mistaken...
Before Christmas?
I think it was right December, late December. It's a Christmas present from David Poyle.
So just wanted, you know.
Yeah, Brian was not on the bench.
Brian was not on the bench.
Because Paul said that he was very mad and got a bench minor.
No, Brian did. You know, Brian did get mad.
On occasion.
And he did. I'm sure he gave Brian the odd bench minor. But
I'm sure Paul's got a lot of Brian Murray, of Brian and him.
Brian Murray had the greatest lines on the bench of any coach you could ever imagine. He was the best. I used to be on the bench with him, listening to the lines. They were spectacular.
At Air Canada Centre tonight, along with the Daryl Sittler ceremony, Mike Babcock is going to coach his 1,000th NHL game. Dion Phaneuf is going to play in his 800th NHL game. Nazem Kadri, I believe, is going to play in his 300th NHL game. And there's one other milestone that I just can't remember.
I didn't realize Babcock was in his 1,000th. I thought we talked about Tippett, but we never mentioned Babber.
Let's go to the video.
Babber?
Babber?
That's where you and him are now?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Babber?
Yeah,
it's Babs.
Totally. Babs. Babber.
Let's show you the video of Carey Price, who was back
Does
on the
qualify
ice.
Qualify as a one-up, by the way, from Babcock to Babber?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Couldn't help himself.
That's an unintentional one. It just comes so naturally to him. Here's video of Carey Price. Apologize, but we'll try and take you through it. He's skating just in the tracksuit, and we showed video from yesterday on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey last night, and he wasn't moving very well. This is a lot better. I'm not saying something changed within a day, but you guys were really concerned last night.
When you say ginger, you're not thinking Gilligan's Island, you know? No. And he was ginger.
So how would you describe this? He's doing crossovers, doing some shooting drills, actually. There he's on one knee.
I think the word is, despite the video, that they feel like he's still on a course. And, hey, listen, for all hockey fans, you wish the greatest goaltender right now in the world would be back playing. But as we said last night, where at what point, if Montreal's season continues to circle the drain, do you sit there and say, what are the pros and cons of having him play in the latter part of the season?
Is that the video we saw? That's not what we saw.
That's from today.
Night. That's
today.
This is from today.
Okay, so
this morning.
Yeah, he looks much better. He looked sore yesterday when the one we watched. This one, he looks different.
Based on the last Mark Bergevin update, Carey Price's timeline is slated to
January
return,
21st
to return mid-February.
January 21st, he said another three to four weeks. So if that's the case, is it the knee or whatever's bothering him needs ample time to warm up?
And last night was a great example. Mike Condon played very well.
Played great.
They just can't score three goals.
He plays good enough to just lose. And I think that's the story of just not the other night, but the last 5 weeks.
It's hard to keep trying to explain it. You know, what has gone wrong?
They had a lead at home going into the third period.
Against the 29th place team.
Against the Buffalo Sabres and Jack Eichel, who joins us on the phone right now.
Just quick thing. Loople has a milestone tonight as well. I didn't. Yep. Somebody mentioned that.
Here's Jack Eichel. I think it's 500th or 600th game. Jack Eichel, you had a little bit of a chirp fest last night with PK Subban. What was happening there?
we were both into the game. Obviously, it's an emotional emotional sport. It's an emotional game, and I guess he didn't like something that I did. So,
what did he do to him?
I didn't do it. It wasn't to him. It was a move I made, and he had something to say about it. Both of us obviously getting into the game.
You ain't getting that cheese by me. Was that something like what he said to you?
Yeah, I tried something against someone else, and he had something to say about it. So then I had something to say back, and a couple guys on our team had something to say. So the usual.
How long into this season did you feel like you could participate in that kind of chirping, or was it right from the very start? Because of your first year?
I mean, I usually don't engage in it. My first year in 19 and obviously respecting so many guys in the league, I don't engage in conversation and things like that. But, obviously I'm going to stand up for myself. And if someone has something to say to me, I usually have something to say back.
Hey, Jack, how would you so far describe your season when you came in? Obviously, the hype between you and Connor, there are some nights when I've watched you on the highlight reel and I'm sitting there going, wow,
is there something to look forward out of Jack Eichel the next, you know, hopefully 15 years? But would you describe it being right where you thought it would be, better, a little tougher at times? How would you describe it?
I think you could probably describe my year and all the things that you said. You know, it's been tough at times. It's been better than what I've expected. It's been a lot of fun. It's you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs as there is in an NHL season, from what I've you know, been told from a lot of the older guys, and for me, I'm just trying to find that consistency. And in a long 82 game season, it's tough to have your best night every night. So you know, kind of realize the nights when you don't have it, and keep your game simple and try to help your team win. And the nights when you do have it, try to make a bigger impact.
There's been a lot of conversation, Jack, about Ryan O'Reilly's impact on the Sabres and their young guys. Mostly hear about Reinhardt and how he's sort of taken him under his wing and helped his game. How about for you? He's still a young guy. He's going to be a part of the rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, you know, he's still really a young guy, but it seems like he's been in the league for a while. You know, now that he's, you know, I think he's coming up on his third contract, and, you know, he came in the league when he was right out of his, you know, draft year, and just the work ethic that he brings to the rink every day, it's something that it's great for our team with a lot of young guys, and people can learn from Ryan and the attitude he brings and the work ethic and his demeanor and how he approaches the game. You can learn a lot from him, and he's taken a lot of us under his wing, you know, after practice, working on things with us, and you know, just his preparation for everything, whether it's practice or game, and you know, from what he eats to, you know, how he hydrates, I think everything. You know, he's a class act, and he's a great guy to have in the room.
But are you going to start curving your stick like him?
We did a feature last night.
How he uses that.
It's the goofiest thing we've ever seen.
I call it a broken nose.
It's a rake. I've never seen anything like it, but he makes it work.
Oh boy, does he ever.
A Boston Buffalo, Jack Eichel, nice enough to join us on a game day. You can watch them on Sportsnet East and Pacific tonight.
700 games tonight for Joffrey Lupul. Congratulations.
Here we go.
He doesn't play on Buffalo.
He doesn't play on Buffalo.
No, I know, but it's nice.
And we still have Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, Jack. I thought you were saying goodbye to Jack.
No, well.
Oh, Jack, sorry.
Then I would usually say goodbye to him and then jump in.
Oh, I thought you were summing it
Jack,
up.
Jack, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it, and we'll chat again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Congrats on a great year. Make sure you tell all your teammates how exciting it is for your Lupul to play in his 700th game.
It's called one-upping.
I will.
Okay. Jack Eichel at home to the Boston Bruins.
I thought he was gone. Yeah. Poor Jack.
I usually say goodbye to them.
Well, you're sort of summing it up, you know?
So what else is going on?
We have tonight on the network Columbus and Vancouver. John Tortorella back in a place where it ended as badly as you could see something end for a head coach, the way it went downhill in his final half season. How do you think he's received?
Well, it seems like it's a love fest going on out there. And somebody said to me this morning, well, the Sedins said what a great coach is. I'm saying, have the Sedins ever said a bad thing about anybody? Don't judge on what they say. They're the nicest guys. They'd never criticize anybody.
They take the high road.
It was ugly. It was a bad fit. Not maybe the right type of team. So it ended bad. But you know what? You go back and you sort. I think Torts has handled it pretty well. He's laughing it off and trying to have some fun with it.
Hey, listen, forget about the games tonight. I want you to tee up tomorrow's Hockey Central at noon, because someone yesterday gave people the impression that this show's only on from Tuesdays to Thursdays. And I want to make it abundantly clear. This is a great show Monday through Friday with great analysis. So go ahead.
Tomorrow we will recap the likes of Toronto against New Jersey. We will also check in on how John Tortorella was received by the Vancouver faithful. And how about game two for Connor McDavid's return? Wow. Can he follow up?
You want to one-up me before we go off the air?
No, that performance against Columbus.
You guys have been great.
A week ago, we talked about Corey Schneider and those weird eye exercises he does during stoppages. Jersey and Toronto tonight, we're going to show that video. And we're going to bring it, because Corey didn't seem to have a clue what we were talking about. Oh, the Ducks quack.
You're doing that tomorrow?
We'll chat with you tonight across multiple channels.